Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you in this community. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and it's right around the corner. And this is a month where every year we observe and recognize the importance of families and communities working together to prevent child abuse and neglect. Colorado Springs is home to Colorado's one and only co-located Children's Advocacy Center, Safe Passage, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary in 2024. And joining us this morning to talk more about child abuse prevention and the organization Safe Passage, we're so pleased to have with us Maureen Mo Basenberg, Executive Director. Mo, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Shannon. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back on The Extra. It's always great to be here.
So, Mo, let's start with a little background on Safe Passage. Share some information with our listeners about what your organization does and its work here in the Pikes Peak region.
Sure. So Safe Passage is the Children's Advocacy Center for the Pikes Peak region. We are a nonprofit. We were founded in 1994, and our mission is to give abused children a voice and enable the healing process by acting as the single source of contact for the medical, investigative, and the legal services that need to go on. Safe Passage serves children from birth to the age of 18, as well as intellectually developmentally disabled adults who may be victims of sexual or physical abuse, also who may be witnesses to homicide or domestic violence.
Now, 2.5 years ago, you opened the only co-located Children's Advocacy Center in the state. So I've become a little familiar with it, but our listeners probably haven't. What does co-location mean?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked. It's a great thing to go over and clarify, right? So we are really proud of what we in the community achieved 2.5 years ago. The term co-location refers to each of the key agencies involved in the response to child abuse, physically working from the same location day in and day out.
So who are your partner agencies?
Sure. So Safe Passage works with many community partners closely. Our on-site partners include Colorado Springs Police Department Child Crimes Unit, El Paso County Sheriff's Office, El Paso County Department of Human Services, UC Health, the Family Center, and Kid Power.
And why is collaboration between all these agencies, why is that critical to create the kind of systems change that may help support the kids and families who are impacted by abuse?
Well, collaboration is key to creating system change for kids because child abuse is a crime that requires a complex response. For those complexities to be managed takes careful coordination across law enforcement, social services, advocates, medical, and mental health professionals.
So, because I'm a little familiar with some of the work you do, I know in the past it was sometimes that these cases would come to light and children would be brought to the hospital, even perhaps by their suspected abuser.
Yeah, you're correct. It's a difficult thing to coordinate that response to and make sure that kids get to the best place possible that's trauma-informed and child-focused.
And that's what this Children's Advocacy Center does, right?
That's right.
So let's ask our listeners to stay on the line. We have much more to go with Mo Basenberg, who is the Executive Director of Safe Passage. Before we head to break, we want to let our listeners know they can go for more information where, Mo?
SafePassageCAC.org.
And I would assume they might be able to find out about volunteering efforts or donating efforts. Is that correct there?
All of the above, as well as if they just want to learn more about our services and what our community needs to support children who've experienced abuse.
Well, we will continue the conversation here on The Extra. We need to take a break, get some of our commercial advertisers here on KRDO News Radio to offer their messages. But we'll be coming back with more of The Extra after this short break. We're back with our discussion here talking about National Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is April, and that's when we as a nation should come together to recognize the importance of families and communities working together to prevent child abuse and neglect. And we're talking with Mo Basenberg, the Executive Director of Safe Passage, 2024 has been a milestone year for Safe Passage. It's your 30th anniversary. Tell us why Safe Passage was launched back in 1994 and the growth since then.
Sure. So it really is a milestone year for the agency. Safe Passage, though in 1994, actually just a note, it was named the Children's Advocacy Center for the Pikes Peak region. It went through a name change a little bit after that. It was founded by the district attorney's office, who at the time became aware of the Child Advocacy Center movement and wanted to see our community improve the response to child victims. The very first Children's Advocacy Center was actually founded in Huntsville, Alabama. And once that center became open, really the nation took notice, and a lot of communities like ours, you know, looked to create that collaboration in our hometown.
And we should mention that the website reflects that earlier name. So it's Safe Passage, CAC, for Child Advocacy Center, .org. That's the website where you can find out information on this. You mentioned the local DAs being proponents of this movement. Were those some of the early leaders of the organization? Who were they?
Sure. So, you know, there were many people, many hands, right, who helped to create this. And it actually originally was a program in the district attorney's office and had some fits and starts. So it opened its doors, and then due to lease expense, it closed its doors. And then really in 1994 is when the 501c3 occurred, and it became a standalone nonprofit, no longer affiliated with the district attorney's office. So many, many people in the community lifted this up. Judge Barney Ayupa is someone who we absolutely credit with getting this off the ground, as well as former Mayor John Southers was key.
Well, and he had the legal background also, probably knowing too well how this legal system could sometimes swallow up families and kids and who are, you know, trying to navigate what can be a very difficult system. So prior to co-location, how did kids, families, and all these different agencies, how did they navigate the system?
Sure. Yeah, prior to co-location, it was really complicated, as you mentioned. You know, kids, families, and even partner agencies were expected to travel to multiple locations, with children often having to restate their trauma that happened to them over and over. Partner agencies were driving to and from investigation appointments, and they were treating emails with each other and voicemails to connect with each other's disciplines, right? I mean, it really caused the investigative work to be prolonged despite everyone's best efforts. So while we were all doing the best we could at the time, the improvements to ensuring trauma-informed and child-focused approach, they've really made a true difference for victims.
Is this part of a national trend that recognizes the trauma that these children, these families experience and tries to maybe smooth over some of the rough parts because they've gone through so much already?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at this point in the United States, there were over 900 children's advocacy centers. Mm. And part of why that happens, Shannon, is because it's a really flexible model. So, you know, we did it as, you know, very well, right? You know, for many, many years before moving to this co-located version. But when you go across the country, or even throughout Colorado, communities can bring to it what they have, like what resources they can give, and make that core team happen. And it can look a bunch of different ways. And so that really, I think, led to it becoming the way that throughout the United States we approach child abuse.
And Safe Passage marking 30 years, I mean, that's significant. What are some of the milestones that you think also were a hallmark of the organization that were pivotal, really?
Sure. You know, it's interesting you ask. One of the things that we're going to do, where we've been working on, is creating a timeline, an installation, a permanent installation of our history. So I've been really immersed in this question. So there are a few milestones that were pivotal. You know, in 1994, when the agency opened its doors on Cascade Avenue, it consisted of one interview room and three staff.
Just a right. Baby little organization.
I know. It was just getting a little fledgling out the door, you know. And then, you know, by 1998, there was the first capital campaign, and it allowed us to add 1,200 square feet and grow to four interview rooms, right? And so there was a little bit more. There were two conference rooms added. And good work continued in that space until 2021, when the new co-located center opened, and we grew to 23,000 square feet and a staff of 10.
And you don't like to think that the problem continues to grow, but in some ways it's always been with us. I mean, my mom has stories of her childhood, and, you know, there certainly are those stories from back then. But it's just that a lot of protocols are out there now, which are better at recognizing and bringing these cases to the attention of law enforcement. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I think it's important to remember that child abuse didn't really become a crime until the 1970s. Mm. So when we look at that and we take a step back and look at how systems came along to respond, relatively speaking, as a society, we answered it fairly quickly, right? But, you know, once it became something that we understood that shouldn't happen to children, it wasn't a quote-unquote family matter, right, that this was not okay, it takes some time to grow appropriate system response that's going to meet the needs of the criminal investigation, but primarily make sure that child is not re-traumatized and they are the focus and their healing is the focus.
Yeah, it's such a delicate balance because, as you said, this is a legal proceeding. There's evidence to be collected, statements from witnesses, all of that. But at the same time, these are children at the center of a very traumatic experience almost always. And that trauma can have lifelong impact. So let's talk about Safe Passage marking 30 years. How are you going to honor that anniversary throughout this year?
Yeah, thank you. So we're going to spend the whole year. it's an anniversary year, and so we're going to do that in a variety of ways. So on April 10th, we will have a celebration that will reveal a permanent installation of the agency's history, as I shared earlier. That's been a really exciting project to work on. We were able to work with the interior designer who created the center, and
oh,
so
boy.
Really, we've got some consistency in terms of like approach and feel to it. So that's really, really neat to be able to have a permanent way to talk about these 30 years, right? And then let's see, this summer, we'll be installing a customized butterfly sculpture in the entrance of Safe Passage. The butterfly it's on our mural outside our building, and just that that whole journey of a butterfly is very symbolic for us in terms of a child's journey. So we're really excited to have that piece, that sculpture, welcome children and families as they come into the center. And then toward the end of the year, in September, we're partnering with Rocky Mountain Women's Film to screen a documentary featuring a story of a child abuse survivor and their journey. So we're really excited to share this momentous year in so many ways.
Oh, fantastic. Well, if listeners want to go for more information, we already gave the website earlier, but we're going to continue giving it because it's a great resource. SafePassageCAC.org is the website. Hey, that butterfly sculpture, is that tactile? Is it something that children can go up and touch? Because I bet you'll have a lot of kids trying to do that.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those beautiful metal butterflies, and so it'll be a great piece.
Kids love exploring with their hands and fingers. Yeah, they do. All right, we need to take another break here. Our guest today, Mo Bazenberg with Safe Passage. We need to take this break, but when we come back, we'll continue to shine a spotlight on preventing child abuse as April, right around the corner, is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. I'm your host, Shannon Brittingus. More after the break. Welcome back. We're back with Mo Bazenberg, Executive Director of Safe Passage, an organization that was founded for children's advocacy and now is one of the partner agencies leading this effort with this co-located Children's Advocacy Center, the only one in the state. Now, Safe Passage doesn't work in isolation. You need friends, family, neighbors, physicians, and counselors who are mandatory reporters to be vigilant for kids, teachers too. What are some of the warning signs of abuse and neglect?
Yeah, this is very true. You know, our community really serves as the eyes and ears for our most vulnerable victims. In warning signs, you know, they're going to be really kid by kid dependent, right? Depend on their personality. But some of the things that we like to mention, you know, changes in eating and sleeping patterns, changes in feeling comfortable or safe with family or friends. Maybe they were really eager to go over to uncle's house, but now they're kind of expressing that maybe they don't want to. That could be a sign that something uncomfortable is going on. You could also see some, you know, excessive aggression that's not typical to their behavior, or the opposite, even some withdrawal. And we really want people to know that if someone has a concern that abuse is occurring, we advise the concern is turned over to the experts. We don't expect the community to be experts in this. And that would involve contacting law enforcement and Department of Human Services. You know, call that non-emergency law enforcement number in your area and call 1-888-CO-4-KIDS. That's that state DHS number.
And you don't have to be convinced of it. You just have to, you know, be able to provide a little bit of information to those you're reporting it to, because they're the investigators. They'll investigate it, right? I think a lot of people do feel that hesitation. Well, I don't know for sure. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to raise a ruckus. And but it's really imperative on us as observers to make sure that we're watching out for kids. Now, lots of schools are on spring break, or have been on spring break, or are going on spring break soon. So spring breaks, you say, it can be vulnerable times for kids. What risk factors come into play when it comes to child safety in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, breaks from school can be a challenging time, right? I mean, some of the risk factors that we see, you know, include a decrease or a lack of adult supervision when they're not with their teachers and their school staff. You know, this can lead to physical safety concerns, right? Are they playing safe at home? Are they making good choices, you know? And also internet safety concerns, right? Because, you know, sometimes kids are, you know, we all use devices. I'm a mom of two. And sometimes it's like, hey, hop on your iPad. I got to get XYZ done, right? You know, so, you know, we sort of, for better or worse, you know, kind of go to that. You know, as we know, online risks for children are serious, and they're often from people that are known to children. And studies tell us, unfortunately, they're often peers.
Mm. So what can parents or guardians do to help their kids stay safe? What questions should we be asking of, you know, for instance, providers of childcare or the babysitters? What should we be asking?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things that parents can do to keep kids safe is to ensure that there are open lines of communication, so that before anything might happen, your child knows that you care about their safety and that they'll never be in trouble for something someone does to them. And that's groundwork you lay early on, as early as you can, right, to know that you're their biggest ally, right, and protector. You know, in terms of questions to ask caregivers, and I'll say I even ask parents of friends that my kids might be spending time like at their homes. Mm-hmm. You know, we ask some basic things. You know, do you keep firearms in the home? You know, if you do, how are they stored? Another one is, does anyone other than your immediate family live in the home with you? And
right.
If so, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just stuff based on some of the things we see that make kids vulnerable, right? And then also, what's your approach to supervision? You know, I mean, making sure that there's alignment in terms of how kids are watched and by whom.
Interesting, and so key. And when we refer to kids, Mo, when we're talking about this subject, we would be remiss if we weren't including teenagers as well. They are especially vulnerable too. What kinds of safety factors are even more unique to teens?
Sure. Yeah, our teens need our guidance and safety checks as well. You know, they might not act like it, but they certainly do, right? Making sure that they know you're still there for them. So, you know, really for them, it's a lot of navigating those online risks, you know, including, you know, on their cell phones, you know, let alone on other devices, as well as just navigating those peer relationships. You know, those are some of those key areas where teens are quite vulnerable.
Well, we need to take a break here again, Mo Bainsberg. I need to get the advertisers on because they help pay the bills, keep the lights on around here at KRDO News Radio. We are marking and previewing National Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is April. And that's why we are focusing and giving Safe Passage a platform to share their story, which has been going on now for 30 years, you know, quite significant in our community. So again, if you'd like to find out more about the organization, visit safepassagecac.org. And if you suspect child abuse and or neglect with a child, you can call the hotline. It's a statewide hotline, 1-844-CO4KIDS. More on this subject on The Extra here in just a few minutes. We're back for our final segment with our guest, Mo Bainsberg, Executive Director of Safe Passage. So glad that you were able to join us. I wish we didn't have to focus on this topic because it would be, you know, wonderful if people knew how to behave around children, how to treat them with respect mm-hmm. and kindness and non-physical, non-sexual actions that really can steal a person's childhood from them. I mean, we hear all sorts of stories of adults who are still coming to terms with trauma they experienced because of abuse that went unrecognized, unreported. So for more than 30 years, we should mention, Mo, Safe Passage has been serving El Paso and Teller counties and the kids in those communities. And as a community, if kids go untreated after abuse and neglect, what are some of the impacts?
You know, if child abuse is not addressed, the impact can be truly life-altering. Studies have found profound impacts related to decline in physical health, risk of addiction, risk of mental illness, and overall productivity as a human, as a citizen, right? You know, being a victim of abuse can never be erased, but there are wonderful treatment approaches that can really change the trajectory, taking a victim to being a survivor.
Because you don't want these children to feel that they are so worthless that their lives don't have meaning. And that can be an unfortunate, just one of the many trauma-related thought processes that these survivors go through, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, child abuse hides in shame. Right? And if it's not addressed and we aren't able to intervene and stop what's happening, that shame can take deep root and can really change the trajectory someone's life take.
So if a listener is out there and suspects abuse or neglect, or maybe they don't even know what they're seeing, but they're seeing changes in a child, changes that are unexplainable by, you know, other circumstances. It's not that the family has moved. It's maybe that mm-hmm. the child has, you know, stopped eating or staying always in their room or not wanting to go around certain people. I mean, so what if someone suspects that? What should they do?
Sure. So we really encourage that you're contacting that state hotline, that 1-844-CO4KIDS, as well as your local law enforcement agency. You know, what we try to help people understand is that, you know, we're all day in, day out, just sort of seeing pieces of people, right? You know, you say hi at church, you say hi in the school parking lot, you know, you're seeing just one fraction. But sometimes there's a lot deeper in, you know, going on under the surface. And if you're able to, you know, see something that doesn't look right and you make that call, you might be adding a piece to the puzzle that other people have already contributed, right? That really helps the system know that we need to intervene.
Are there false reports out there that come in?
Very, very, I can't stress very enough, very rarely.
Very rarely, because it usually takes a lot for someone to reach for the phone and make that call. But there
Absolutely.
Are mandatory reporters out there. If they're seeing, I mean, they've all through their professions have gone through training to recognize signs, right? And to see why they should be bringing these cases to the fore.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, again, from a system standpoint, we as a community have recognized legally that some people, you know, really come into contact with children in a way where they are kind of that front line, right? And so we do rely on that. But, you know, sometimes things slip through the cracks. And so, you know, everybody has some responsibility in terms of keeping kids safe.
We're all a team in that. I love mm-hmm. that. And then, of course, your organization marking 30 years in our community, doing this good work, doing this hard work. I mean, it probably is a very thankless in a way job because, I mean, I assume when you're going through this, the people that you are helping, I don't know if we would call them victims of child abuse or neglect, but the children at the center of it, they probably have gone through this and it feels like their world might be crashing down and you're helping to guide them through it. But at the same time, you know, they're focused on their own recovery, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we know that when they're stepping foot in the center, you know, it can be one of the worst days of their life, right? And so that's really, we take that perspective in terms of the intentionality and the care. You know, I'll say we do provide the opportunity for feedback when caregivers and children 10 and up are at the center when they're here for their appointment. And I'm proud to say that actually for all that they're going through, many, 90% and above really feel what we're providing, and they express that back to us, and they, you know, feel respected, they feel heard, they know that this place is for them, they appreciate how staff approach them, they appreciate the environment, and so that is affirming, you know, that we are doing what we can to make their worst day a little better.
Yeah, the Children's Advocacy Center is that wonderful place that, you know, like we said, it does provide all these resources in one concentrated place so that the children going through this do not have to travel from various places and repeat their stories. It can be just one place where they are treated and provided that important support as they're going through this. And we would love it if through prevention we could eliminate child abuse tomorrow. But the reality is that's not going to happen. And so that's why it's so wonderful that our community has this resource in place. That wraps it up here for the extra today. And just a happy birthday, Mo, to you and your staff and the others who are collaborating with you at Safe Passage and with your partner agencies at the Children's Advocacy Center. 30 years. It's remarkable.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And thank you for, you know, helping, you know, bring awareness to this really tough topic. We appreciate you.
Well, and if you'd like to find out more, you're listening right now, you can visit their website, safepassagecac.org, and follow along with their key developments throughout the year as they mark their 30th anniversary. And if you would like to report child abuse or neglect suspicions, you can give a call to 1-844-CO4KIDS. That is a statewide hotline that will get your information to the people who need to know and who can follow up on it and do the investigations and bring these children into a protective space. That's the extra. We thank you for listening. Have a good day.